Welcome to Variant Frequencies. Month to month, our podcast brings you fiction stories from a different channel. Sci-fi, fantasy, horror, and some odd bands in between. Visit us at www.variantfrequencies.com. Hello, I'm Rick Stringer. This episode of Variant Frequencies is one of the most ambitious yet for us. We are very excited about the people who contributed to it. The story that you are about to hear was written by Matt Wallace. The narrator is known to many of our listeners. Evo Terra of Slice of Sci-Fi, The Dragon Page, Michael and Evo's Wingin' It, and one of the founders of PatioBooks.com very generously took time out of his busy schedule to read for us. I think you will agree, it is one of the best performances that we have had to date. Evo is involved in so many projects, we are amazed that he found time to do it. You will find his bio on our live journal page. There is more to this podcast than the reading and the story. The music is a big part of it too. The opening piece is called Outside After Bedtime. It is written and performed by Cagey House. Cagey House makes their music available through podsafeaudio.com. As a proud father, I need to mention that much of the beautiful guitar you will hear in the background is performed by my son, Neil. Neil, along with his instructor, Greg Seaman, wrote the music that you will hear through much of this story. There is one more piece of music that I need to talk about. It is J.S. Bach's Fifth Brandenburg Concerto. This rendition of it is performed by the Traverse Symphony Orchestra. It is wonderful that they gave us permission to use this piece of music. Thank you to Andy Bulow and Kathleen Light for helping us make it happen. Enough of my talking. Now it is time for the last frequency. Spend a night in the far reach with Shirk Maxwell, Doctor of Broadcast Journalism. Shirk is humanity's last voice of dissent. Set forth on a mic and beamed out across deep space to every rift-tripper and manic ET roaming the great void. But as the same slimy threat that evacuated Earth encroaches on Dr. Maxwell's weird corner of the Big Black, will it signal the final broadcast of mankind's last frequency? You'll have to tune in to find out.
Last night, countdown to absolute zero. Tonight the berg is blown, the ramparts fall to dust. Tonight that voice in the darkness gets lost, its owner gets gone, and the echo of our last frequency gets sucked into the vacuum, decimated, no longer to reverberate. And then what? Silence.
I know you're out there, citizens of the galaxy, skimming the astral vapors and skating those nebulous gas pockets in your tricked-out planet hoppers. You're traders, commercial freighters, and mercenary roamers, vessels armed to your chiseled teeth or shiny scales, slimy tentacles, whatever the genetic fates may have blessed or cursed your particular species with. You're all out there, paupers, princes, and pirates alike. And if you're skulking through the nearby night in all its starry vastness in anything bigger than an orbital pod, then maybe, just maybe, these weird old frequencies I'm pinging out from our ham satellite might just fizzle up amongst that molten sea of static flooding your comm systems. If so, then you should know this is your geek in the far reach, Dr. Shirk Maxwell, and though all may have been quiet on the cosmic frontier just a millisecond ago, the cries of a dying race are about to liven things up. I want to hear you out there, my fellow bipedal brethren. I want to hear all of you that are left screaming bloody rage through the portholes of those titanium spiral space stations we all sustain in, or shouting wild banshees gripping your soul through the cheap grating of a transport ship carrying you to the next strange place you'll tread. Shake off the ectoplasmic dust of your ancestors, those avian wraiths soaring high above our blackened origin with its scorched deathscape, and live your own pain this time. I am not preaching hope, you understand, just survival. And maybe a little attitude.
A call to arms for the couldn't care less is how my information manager describes these little opening spiels of mine. I never care. I roll with it. In front of the comm, I can almost watch my words like fire on the absence of gravity. They flow in an uninterrupted roll, smooth and rippling like silk. But they scorch, burn, and char when they touch the ear of the listener. I think of my tongue as forked and steel-tipped, a weapon, and the last one I have left. I go live at the same time every 12 hours, with it cocked and ready, spitting laser bolts out over the spatial frequencies for 2 hours each time, or until my energy coil is sapped. I am humankind's last broadcast journalist on the farthest human orbital satellite outpost. The purpose of our groovy little setup here, originally, was to provide news and relays to ex-Earth pilgrims and pioneers looking for new pastures and the scouts from the Great Evacuation Fleet. Needless to say, it has mutated into something a little bit more. It's become my mission to be the last fleshless jawbone wagging spectrally atop a pile of skeletons, refusing to be an artifact for alien study just yet. But for those who may be a little confused about the above, or to any number of uninitiated aliens that might be picking up the weak spatial vibe of my show for the very first time, the next regular item on my on-air agenda lays it out neatly.
On our obsolete human calendar, it has been 32 years, 6 months, and approximately 18 days since we depressed Earth's self-destruct button,
I'd read off. Not unlike the way my ancient predecessors who utilized radio microwaves would give the time of day or the current status of the weather at the top of their broadcast hour. Speaking English has never been a problem. Higher alien life forms pick up languages faster than the Dutch, probably because I don't have 10 hits of Chiba slowing them down. I was a tender tot of 5 at the time of the second Big Bang, as I refer to it. Not to be confused with Adam throwing mankind's first shot into Eve. We did it ourselves, not unexpectedly. But, and this was totally unexpected, we did not destroy Earth in a crossfire of nuclear obliteration resulting from our own petty race wars. No, our hand was forced, and we copped out nobly. That was how it had read on the memorial wall, anyway, if one was ever erected. More on that whole mess later.
It's time now for the news!
If there's a serious hat worn in my show, this is where I cock it down over my brow.
That reported quantum singularity in Sector 81G actually was gas from a giant space-faring plasmatrog, probably with indigestion. This item brought to us by a roving band of Sacker Core servers. The Sacker, of course, the only known species able to breathe in a vacuum. Poor bastards.
Perhaps the hat is cooked slightly askew, however. You can never afford to look or act too serious. Not in this galaxy.
In a note a little more on the heavy, I've just been handed an inter-satellite memo.
And I had. By my lovely information manager. Well, not handed. The truth is, I don't think I've ever actually seen her. 3 people in a satellite the size of a beer can and our memos don't even interface. They just pass each other in the wire. Forget about flesh-on-flesh contact.
Well, color me taupe. This is supposed to be eyes only, folks. Not meant for broadcast. Seems the soggies, those big sludge-secreting sweeties many of us have come to know as intergalactic landlords serving eviction notices, are pushing this way. We on mankind's farthest satellite outpost have been ordered to pack it in and rejoin the collective in deep space.
You'd think because you've seen worlds destroyed and billions disintegrated and alien beings all beyond physiological expectation that nothing can surprise you anymore. Yet here I sit, stunned into silence. Worse, far worse, inexcusable, into dead air. I've heard the whispers in the corridors, in the comm chatter, the rumors of a great human recall. I live to say,
The reports of my cancellation have been greatly exaggerated.
And now, they're finally bringing the hammer down.
Well, I recover. We'll save that for later. Right now, we'll check out a listener trans. What do you say? This one comes to us from Teal of the Pleisch Consortium.
The evolution of the Pleisch race followed a frighteningly similar path to humans, with two key differences. One, it happened sooner, and two, their adult males only grow to be a foot tall. If one could gather a Pleisch, a toy piano, and a trained flock of ducks, and a bar totally unfamiliar with Homo sapien comedy, one could construct the definitive version of the 12-inch pianist joke.
It appears that our Pleisch friend is upset that I referred to his people as the sub-Napoleon race during my last broadcast, and he has threatened to crawl up my ass and use my lung as a speed bag. I may be paraphrasing. Teal goes on for a bit, but right now I want to move on to part 4 in our continuing pre-apocalyptic retrospective. We're bringing you all the hits from Earth's last Top 40. That's right. This was the end of the hit parade, the march that gave us the birth of Scientologist punks and Kabbalah rap. And, coincidentally, they're dueling at numbers 9 and 10 on our countdown. First up, St. Travolta's smash hit, The Angel Raziel Was a Greasy Wanker, followed by that mystical Hebrew-loving trio, Seven Forms of Intelligence with Fuck St. Travolta.
I listen, just for a second, to the digiharp strains, the next-gen synth of the music, the word music used strictly as a euphemism. I lament briefly, this was mankind's last pop trend. Abandoning the comm during a broadcast, a cardinal sin. But I am not a cardinal. I'm looking for Chazzy, my engineer, alias maintenance tech, alias all-around handy Jack. I find him, a fat man in a leotard, using his bubblegum helmet as a snack dish. Chazzy spacewalks a lot for this gig, so he's taken to wearing his activity suit 24/7. I'm more than a little afraid of what might be living under there by now. "What's all the hubbub, bub?" I ask him. Chazzy shrugs.
"I guess we're going. Ganya had me prep the remote shuttle. Soggy's supposed to be annexing this whole sector."
"Where's there to go, Chazzy?"
"I don't know. Back to the fleet."
"Yeah. What do you suppose my program back at the fleet will be? Morning announcements? Give out the protein ration quotient for the week? Hey, maybe I can report on Sunday night bingo." Chazzy shrugs again. He's your go-with-the-flow guy.
"No choice, Shirk," he says. "Fleet's cutting all the supply lines through here."
"So that's it? We're all done? We just zip up our pocket of space and wait for some passing radon wave to zap us all sterile, finish the whole mess out?" That's too rich for Chazzy's brain blood, so his mind folds. He just says,
"Look, the Shoggies will slime this whole place until it's just a couple of chunks of titanium with our neck bones sticking to them."
The image of being sucked into a waste-scented gelatinous mass and acid-digested is a pan flash in my mind, side by side with one of me manning a switchboard on a fleet ship until I die. They tip the scales about the same. The Soggies annexed the solar system, too, starting with Earth. When the smoke cleared, the fight was lost. And as the evac fleet limped into exile, our leaders detonated the planet by remote. Because, if we couldn't take our ball and go home, then deflating it was the next most petulant move.
"Not actually thinking of staying, are you?" Chazzy asks.
"Well, that'd just make me the folly that is man, wouldn't it?" And it would. Because this is just a tiny broadcast in a dusty corner of the Great Galactic Bistro. It's barely a blip in the big black, after all. The songs are down. I get back on the comm.
"Next up, one of my own personal lamentations. Marvin Marius, that master of quantum excellent rock. We that are left miss you. Could've used you out here, man. You know, sometimes I picture Double M there in his last days, astride the crest of some grandy majestic hilltop, blasting his optoelectric guitar, the ultimate rebel solo, as an army of soggy snail trail up the Terra beneath him. Anyway, here's Android Avalon, a song about an automaton who finds paradise in another dimension. The automaton is a human mind, and paradise is in our hearts. Man, that man was a poet.
I cue the tune and meditate on this one for a while. Dig into my stash, the vacuum-sealed pack of hydroponic joy I keep duct-taped to the underside of the console, spark my plasma bong, take a hit. I listen to the cycling of super-excited nodes and antinodes within Double M's guitar achieve musical light-speed. His voice was amplified over them. It had to be. They called it the voice of creation. They weren't just bruising prose. Time falls off the counter on my console. I play the rest of the countdown. Maybe that's appropriate. These were the last songs Terran Radio had to offer our little globe, and now I've brought them to a wider audience than we ever imagined. I've moved man's creative march as far forward as it's going to go. Maybe in that way I've done my part. I can leave feeling fulfilled. I can tuck my tail and boogie on back to the fleet, leaving some tunes behind for whatever they're worth.
So, trans your list of the top 10 more creative ways we could have destroyed the planet Earth. I, of course, will no longer be here to read them, but since we can't take most of this technological dreck I suffocate amongst with us, I'll leave our remote relays up and program the trans filters to play the ones with the most dirty words in them. And speaking of colorful linguistics, it's now time for the Terran word of the day. Today's word is segue, and it's just what I did. So that saves a lengthy definition. The doctor's going to take a break here, but I'll be back before you can say, take me to your leader. Not that you ever do. No, it's always, how do you bipedal mammals sit with your knees bending that way?
Toggle another switch. Punch a flashing button. It's all automatic function now. Sometimes I'm surprised to look down and find I'm not rooted to the console, to find legs instead of flesh and veins grown into titanium motherboards. I don't even feel the movements of my fingers anymore. I imagine I'll only notice when the switches aren't there to flip. I've been filing memos from Donya every hour on the hour for the last three, each one tanked with a few new superlatives, a new modifier for each expletive. The gist is, I should have signed off and humped it with my gear down to the remote shuttle by now. Is it soup yet? I call the chassis across the esoteric expanse of my flashing console. A few ticks later, he ushers two stainless steel mugs inside the broadcast booth. What they're filled with exists in a hermaphroditic state of both liquid and solid simultaneously. You can't get booze in the Big Black. Needless to say, good Singapore sling is out of the question. Chazzy brews his happy sludge from indigenous spaceborne bacteria he scrapes out of the Evo recyclers. The effect it releases is a decent approximation of shit-faced on Saturday night in Tulsa, so it's worth putting your brain through strictly for the anthropological value. Chazzy has assured me it's at least as safe as actual alcohol, although sometimes in my sleep, I think I hear a million microscopic voices plotting. And the gist is,
next, we take his temporal lobe.
Dopamine and endorphins play a game of chutes and ladders through my body, but the euphoria is just cool breath on a razor blade. My edge is still there, straight and fine and thirsty for throats to slit and fates to shear. I cop a bug like an angry insect, one that just won't quit. You try to swat it away with your hand, beating at it like an angry caveman, only to watch the thing eke through your fingers every time.
Probably ought to have a toast, huh?
Chazzy says when his mug is half empty. A toast? Chazzy. You toast when babies are born, or two young lovers tie a knot. You toast new business ventures, new voyages, new discoveries. You toast to beginnings, not endings.
What about birthdays?
Opines Chazzy.
Anniversaries? You toast them.
I had a whole groove going there, Chazzy. Don't piss on my parade with logic.
Come on, sure.
All right. How about we toast to booze and the blowins?
What's that mean?
Wine and women.
Never had wine. Only women out this way have scales.
Well, they'll be both back at the fleet, so there's that.
I'll drink to it, Chazzy decrees.
And he would if he hadn't already emptied his mug between sentences. So I drink for both of us. My frontal lobe fizzles, and I enter a moment of what can only be categorized as quiet reflection, in which I'm sure I'm like a man about to write some very bad poetry.
Here's the thing, I say to Chazzy, who's lingering across the console, picking raw chocolate-coated protein out of his bubble helmet one by one and slowly cud-chewing them. We may never run out of space, but space will damn sure run out of us eventually.
Huh?
Chazzy manages around a mouthful.
Yeah, that was man's first question, I suppose. Might as well be our last one, Chazzy swallows.
Shirk, I just fix shit.
Well, Chazzy, my problem is the shit that's broke in my reality is more abstract.
Like a painting, you mean?
He asks, and for a moment, I envy how simple life must be for my intrepid engineer. A final inter-satellite memo from Danya. The remote shuttle books in 10 with or without all members of staff aboard. It's time to sign off, for good and for all. I should start formulating Shirk Maxwell's final message. My last bullet time spiel. The Soggies will be here soon, slurping up our satellite the way they slurped up the solar system. A real yen for real estate, those guys. So the question, sudden and urgent and to the chest, becomes, what do I have left? What do I have last? If you think fast enough, actions are just as good as answers. If you've got enough strange chemicals making a guided fantastic voyage through your systems, you don't have to think at all. Signing back on.
You know, some accuse me of talking a lot without actually saying anything. I use Earth's evac as a punchline. So you want to know about it? Really know about it? I'll tell you. I see it obscured. Through a filthy porthole, having to wipe away my own sweaty kid breath. Through all the steamy mist of the evac ship's exhaust. It's as hazy in my mind as it was before my little uncorrupted eyes. All I remember is, like a million tiny tornadoes turning blue and white to black and orange. A big messy ball going wrong, getting smaller and smaller, until it faded away. So here's what old Shirk thinks. I think I'll stick around, stay on the space waves. I think I'll wait for the Soggies to show up. I'll offer them a few tokes of hydroponic, point to this chartreuse on-air readout on my right, and maybe we'll just chat a while. After all, I'm a broadcast journalist, ladies and gentle beings, and the Soggies are the biggest news going. So I'm going to do what I do for you. And if I get sucked through a Soggy's giant pore and slow marinated in acidic ooze, well, that'll just be good radio.
I ignore Chazzy, his big, dumb, surprised eyes. Instead, I dial up the 5th Brandenburg Concerto from the databank and raise my feed with it, like an offering, like a plea in the universal language that says, this is what we've got. There's more where this came from. This is why we deserve to keep on tripping the rift out here. Just give us a chance, baby. Just give us a chance. I lean back, draw a long bomb off my H-pipe, and let it out in time with the long violin chord in Bach's third movement. The smoke bathes the console, filters the green letters of the readout, those 5 little frizzy characters that center me, one tiny object in space, letting me know the only important truth of my existence. On air, it says. Through the smoke, it's all hazy, but it's still there, and I'm not letting it fade away this time.
Thank you for listening to The Last Frequency, written by Matt Wallace and narrated by Evo Terra. To find out more about Variant Frequencies, please go to our website at www.variantfrequencies.com. And be sure to follow the links to our journal for notes about the production of Variant Frequencies. and links to all of the wonderful artists who've contributed to this story. Thank you from the Variant Frequencies team, Matt Wallace, Ann Stringer, and Rick Stringer.
Michael and Evo's Slice of Sci-Fi.
For the latest news and information in science fiction, TV, and movies,
Michael and Evo's Slice of Sci-Fi.
What the?
If you're watching it on TV or spending too much money for it at the drive-thru, it's on
Michael and Evo's Slice of Sci-Fi.
For the love of Pete, not again.
Weekly podcasts, stimulating interviews, and
Menengay, what are you doing?
I'm making a promo.
You're jacking around with the vocal effects, aren't you?
Well, maybe a little.
What did I tell you about that? This does nothing. Nothing, I tell you, for our image problem.
Yeah, but it's for other sci-fi related shows to run.
I don't care. Tell them to visit the website. Tell them to listen to the show. That's it. Now don't make me come back in here.
Fine. Some pod Yoda you are. Please visit our website at sliceofsci-fi.com and be sure to listen to
Michael and Evo's Slice of Sci-Fi.